This podcast may contain adult language, adult content, argumentative masochism. Listener discretion is advised.
Kids, put your headphones in. About to use TV mature words.
Earmuffs, earmuffs, earmuffs. Paul and Lenny are back with a legal dispute. Len, we are 10 days removed from the Capitol riots, and I know that personally, I have not come to grips with it. I know that you have not come to grips with it as of yet. But I was reading this week they started making some arrests, and I'll get to that in a second. But what I thought was an interesting comment today was I was reading this the other day, and the source is actually Fox News, and it's Representative Steve Scalise. If you remember, he was the rep Republican who was shot on the baseball field. I guess they were practicing for the baseball game that they do every year at National Stadium in Washington, D.C., and he was shot in the leg by a radical, I guess you'd call him a left winger. I don't know. But you know, whatever the face is. And, you know, what he was talking about, he said, what happened last Wednesday went well beyond any candidate's legal right to contest an election and is another glaring sign that public discourse has gotten out of control. With only days to go until President-elect Biden's inauguration, our national temperature is far too high, a powder keg that has been smoldering for long before Wednesday's events. For the sake of our country, politicians and media figures of both parties have to tone down the rhetoric, which I think is huge, because the rhetoric on both sides is just, it's over the top right now, and they're all grasping for something. He says, in 2017, I was shot on a baseball field by a politically motivated gunman. The deranged shooter was heavily influenced by the demonization of congressional Republicans by some Democratic politicians whose statements were amplified by mainstream media. In the aftermath of my shooting, I made a conscious decision not to hold anyone but the gunman responsible for the day's events. It would, however, be naive to think the shooter arrived at the decision in a vacuum. It would be equally naive to think that the Capitol rioters arrived at their decisions in a void. Violent rhetoric helps radicalize people. Republicans and Democrats alike must have the moral clarity to call this language of whatever, excuse me, to call this language out whenever it is spoken, not only when it comes from the other side of the political aisle. And I read that and I was like, holy crap, it's 100% right on, because we sit there and we talk about, you know, what's gone on as far as the Capitol rioters. And we're going to talk a second about some of these guys that were arrested this week and the charges that were put against them. But the rhetoric has to stop. I mean, it just, at some point in time, we talk about, you know, we talk about impeaching Trump because we want to quiet that side of the GOP side. But at some point on both sides of the ball, someone has to say, stop, time out, guys, just stop. Because there's too many angry people on this side of the aisle, and there's too many angry people on the other side of the aisle. And when it comes to those rioters, whether they were in whether they were at the Capitol or whether it's in the cities, we have to get back to a point that we say, guys, this shit has to turn down. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I thought it was an interesting comment by him this week, because he could have just, you know, gone out and blamed everybody and their mother and extremists and everything else. He blames the shooters, but he's calling out his fellow politicians too.
Well, first of all, I know part of what I'm going to say, you're not going to like too much, but I agree with him in regards to the rhetoric. It's been too long that both sides have been going back and forth against each other. And when we disagree with each other, we not only just debate it, but we, you know, we put each other down, and that has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Where some of the people that me and you both are not big fans of, mm-hmm. like AOC, mm-hmm. she has her ideas.
You're a big fan of AOC's. Well, I'm not a big fan of AOC's.
But, you know, we may not like some of her politics, but, I mean, she is now the poster child on one side of putting her down. And that's whether you like her or you don't like her.
I don't like her.
That stuff has to stop. Why? Out of everything, look, here's the problem, Paul. Out of everybody that was at the Capitol that day, I thought about this last week. They were going after Pence because they feel Pence traded or was a traitor. They were going after Pelosi because Pelosi on Fox News and other news media is the devil herself. But I guarantee you AOC was on top of their list. And it's nothing because AOC has done directly to them. It's because how they presented AOC in the media. And that's on both sides. So you're going to see that now with Lorm Boebert. Who,
yeah, but we'll talk about those two in a second. Because I want to stay with the rhetoric piece, Len. And the rhetoric is not the rhetoric that's out there. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, is not just AOC. This is party rhetoric. But this is the lines that both of these parties are going after, Paul, and they're forming a problem.
Read my lips. I'm agreeing with you.
I can't look at you right now. My mic will move.
Read my lips. I'm agreeing with you. The rhetoric has to stop. The difference, and I understand this representative got shot and is, you know, he can talk about that and how he feels about it and who to blame, and I respect that. What happened to him is totally different in regards to can he blame the rhetoric and the people that were issuing the rhetoric compared to what the Capitol shooting was. Because the Capitol, what happened at the Capitol, the person that shot this congressman on the baseball practice field was not called there by somebody to say, hey, come down on this day, walk down the street after we're done here at this rally, get them fired up, got that guy fired up and said, walk down to that baseball field and let's do something. That's exactly what happened at the Capitol. That's why I can't compare the two.
No, the rhetoric, but Len, I agree with you. I agree. You're not separating the two because what he was talking about.
Yeah, you have to separate the two.
No, you don't. Because what he's obviously talking about the horrible events at the Capitol riots. But what he's coming back to and what he was saying in that conversation was the rhetoric is a driver. Whether that rhetoric is a rally that's happening down the street from the Capitol and people go and storm, or whether that rhetoric is just something that's happening on MSNBC and all of a sudden some deranged lunatic decides to go out to a baseball field and shoot a congressman.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay, but the rhetoric is reaching a different level in this country now, and it scares the shit out of me.
We're talking about the same thing, but you're not following what I'm saying. I'm saying the rhetoric has to stop. The rhetoric causes a lot of problems. The difference, and that's where they're the same. That's where both incidents are the same. Where then it turns even more, where, you know, he said it, I held the shooter responsible, right, and I didn't hold the people doing the rhetoric responsible. He goes, but they were somewhat at fault. I don't disagree with that. But the difference from that to what happened the other day changes right there, because what happened the other day was they were called to a city on a certain day when our democracy was being played out at the Capitol.
Challenged.
They were called there by this administration. And then he goes in front of them, fires them up like a coach would fire up a football team before they hit the field. And then says, walk to the Capitol and I'm going to walk with you. He says,
and then he runs to the White House.
Then he runs away. But that's where I'm saying,
I don't know what these guys are doing. I don't know what's about to happen. Yeah. But I think it's going to be bad.
I was shocked and at awe when I found out they were. And that's where I draw the line. That's different.
No, it's fair. That's a fair thing.
The people that were, and I'm not saying it was good to talk bad about this congressman or whatever caused this guy to go shoot him, is not good. But. You can't hold them responsible the same light as the president, because
and I don't think that's what he's saying. But I think that you keep coming back to this thing. What Scalise is saying is that both sides, they've got to start to tone down this rhetoric, because now we've seen what happens with it. We've seen what happens with this rhetoric, and that there are people out there that genuinely believe some of the shit that's being spewed, by the way, from both parties' mouths. And obviously what happened on Capitol Hill was driven by the GOP, by our own president, and by his family, and by Rudy Giuliani, and by, you know, whatever his cronies are that were there. But it's not something that we haven't had people in the United States that they haven't sat there and listened to. You know, it's the lowest common denominator on both parties, Len, just like we talk about. Whoever that gunman is that went and shot Scalise at the baseball field, there's no Democrat out there that's going, well, that was a good idea. I mean, that no one's condoning that.
Right.
And so, but somehow, and I don't know how we do it. I have no idea how it happens, Len, but there's got to be kind of a defuse of all this rhetoric between the two parties, because I think that where it's going to end up is in such a bad place, and it's scary.
We're already in that bad place.
Well, we're going to be in that bad place on the 20th, because I think that on the 20th, bad things are going to happen. And I just say that because you just read the news. We've got more National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. than we have in Afghanistan, than we had in Afghanistan. God knows what's going on in any major cities. They've got valid threats against New York, Los Angeles, Chicago already. It scares the shit out of me. Scares the absolute shit out of me.
Well, look, they already arrested somebody today who had a false identification on them. They were trying to get through a certain level and had false, you know, credentials.
What does that mean? What do they are they arrested him where? At the airport? At the?
I think they arrested him like in Washington D.C. somewhere.
Jaywalking,
and they found ammunition, guns.
Oh, I saw that yesterday.
Yeah. So I mean, they're already. It's already started. Now, to what level, you know, it goes? I guess we'll see in a few days. Hopefully, not as bad as it was at the Capitol that day.
Well, I don't think it can be as bad as the Capitol that day, just because, I mean, now we again.
No, I disagree. I think it could be worse, because now you've got fire and potential on the other side.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I think that and again, we talked about this last week. I think that if someone, you know, if someone had shot a couple of these people, it would have changed the tone really, really quick. I don't think that these people have huge backbones. I don't think these people are already whining that they're getting arrested. If they're actually met with, you know, the National Guard and something happens, and God forbid any of this happens, by the way, anyone, but I think everyone will back down and go, you know what, I'm going to head back to my truck and I'm good. I'm not going up that hill. There's no way. That's my personal
opinion. I think there's some crazies out there that will push that are not afraid to take it to the next level.
Well, I was looking this week. So Larry Randall Brock, who was the guy on the Senate floor with his tactical gear on, he's from Texas. He was arrested this week. Eric Gavler, I'm going to say Munchel, and he was the zip tie guy that you saw in the on the Senate floor.
Was it one of them like used to be in the service or something?
Yeah, he was arrested. He's from Tennessee. He was stopped by, but what's weird is that he was stopped by law enforcement on the 6th because he was wearing a taser, but they just let him go through. He was at the rally and they just let him go through. I think they're going to change their mind on some of these things. But these guys are all being charged with entering restricted grounds of the Capitol and violent entry or disorderly conduct. And I'll come back to that in a second. Cleveland Gross, and I think his last name is Meredith. I'm trying to read my own handwriting, which just sucks. But he is accused of texting that he wanted to shoot Pelosi and was found with three guns and hundreds of rounds of ammo. He came from Colorado, by the way. And I think he was the one that you were just referring to that was arrested. Jacob Chesley, the bearskin headdress guy, he's from Arizona. And he was charged with a count of unlawful entry into a restricted area, blah, blah, blah. Nick Ocho, he is the founder of the Proud Boys in Hawaii. He was also arrested this week, and I think there's been up to 100 arrests already this week. But it sounds like what they're doing, Len, is they're just charging these guys with general charges right now, although they are federal charges. And again, I go back to charged with entering restricted grounds of the Capitol and violent entry or disorderly conduct. My assumption, and I look for your guidance on this, but my assumption is that's what they're arresting them on now, and then they'll build the case and they could change the charges later as they get more information. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's normal practice in criminal procedure. Well, first of all and foremost, most of these people that are being arrested is a criminal defense lawyer's nightmare, right? Because most of them put themselves there on social media. Most of them took pictures and cameras and were happily telling the world that they were there. So they're admitting to half of what the prosecution has to prove right there anyway. But yeah, what happens normally in a criminal prosecution is they'll stop you, they'll pull you over, they'll charge you with a crime. And then as investigation goes and as the case goes on, they can add charges. They're allowed to add charges. Sometimes in some jurisdiction, they're allowed to add charges the day of trial. So they can say, oh, by the way, we're also adding this in. So they can do that throughout the case. And sometimes when they want you arrested, they want you pulled over. So you're not doing this again. So they'll hurry up and arrest you, set up the general charges, and then add the charges as more evidence comes in.
Do they have to post bail, or is this something that a federal charge they can be held and they can be held for quite a while?
No, the Constitution allows people have a right to reasonable bail, depending on what you're charged with, depending on your record, depending on, you know, the assets you have. Bond is, you know, your guarantee that you're going to show back up to a court hearing, that you're not going to run from the charges and you're going to have the opportunity, or you're not going to be a danger to the community. So bond will be set based on all those criterias that a court will look at. Some of these people may be out on bond already. Some of them may be out on a PR bond, which is, you know, you just sign your name and say, I promise to show up to the next court hearing and not cause any more damage to our community. Mm-hmm. Some people may be held without bond. Maybe they have a record, or maybe they're an escape. You know, they're worried that they're going to take off because of the charges. So there's a number of criteria that goes into why some people are out on bond, what the bond amounts are, and, you know, whether or not they're going to be let out until the trial. I know, you know, we call him the Viking guy.
Yeah.
He was in jail and complaining that he wasn't getting the proper food, that he couldn't have gluten, or he was
I read that, yeah.
Gluten free.
That's Jacob Chansky.
Yeah. So they, you know, they're already starting, and he's already come out and said, look, I was there on behalf of the president, and so now he's asking for a pardon. Here's the idea, dude. If you're going to ask for a pardon from the president, don't throw him under the bus at the same time. So basically what he's saying is, yeah, I came here because the president asked me to, which is now you're basically admitting to the government and to these prosecutors that the president was the one that got you going there, but yet you're still asking the president for a pardon. So it's kind of like, hey, I came there because of you, and you're telling everybody that. So now you have to pardon me. So if I'm the president, I'm running away from that guy faster than you would believe. Because
what?
I didn't tell you to come here, and I'm not going to pardon you.
Len, did you think this guy was a brain surgeon, or did you think there was a level of intellect? Hey, he's dressed in bearskins and a Viking helmet, and he's crashing on the floor.
There are doctors that were there that are posting, you know, hey, I'm here, and they're getting arrested, and they're shocked. And I'm like, these aren't dumb people. They're doctors. They got a medical license somehow. There's professional people. I think the biggest shock to me is how many law enforcement, ex-law enforcement or current law enforcement people.
And military.
Military people, ex-firemen. The guy that was throwing the fire extinguisher is an ex-fireman.
Yep.
Are you kidding me? You know how heavy and how much damage that can cause. And you're throwing it at people in law enforcement. I saw the interview of one of the guys that got dragged out. And he was saying that these guys were telling or screaming, you know, shoot him with his own gun or tase him with his own taser.
Well, that was, that's ridiculous. But that was coming from, so all the stories started coming out this week. You know, and again, this is part of the rhetoric battle, right? So they had the one guy that is a leftist supporter, commentator, and he was there just to observe is what he told everybody. And they've got him on tape going, shoot him with his own gun, shoot him with a taser. You know, just bad people attract bad people and they do horrible things. And I think it's going to be interesting as these arrests continue to pile up, Len, and what it is that they're able to charge him with. I am on record as saying throw the book at them. I don't care. Whatever charges you can use, whether it is the executive order that Trump signed, whether it is every federal charge that you can find in the book, get rid of them immediately, because there has to be an example made of these guys.
No, I would agree, and I think they are going to get the book thrown at them. I mean, what you did is something that law enforcement, I think the Department of Justice, especially under Biden now, and the FBI, they're not going to stand for it.
No,
you know, they can't. They're going to go after these people.
As an American, you can't stand for that. Mm-hmm. We will be back with more Legal Dispute with Lenny and Paul. Stay tuned.
Boom, boom, boom.
Back with the Legal Dispute with Lenny and Paul, and one of the conversations that Lenny and I were having this week was, when you look at the left and you look at the right, you know, you've got the AOCs of the world on the left hand side, and the you know, being proclaimed as a socialist, and now, you know, we've got Lauren, I call her Lauren Boebert, Lauren Gogert.
Wasn't there a Lauren Bobert or Boebert that like did something to her husband?
That's Lorena Bobbitt. She her husband's
yeah, Johnson. Totally different.
Yeah. Oh, okay, because they remind me of the same person for some reason.
Right, no, well, this one's armed. This one's very armed. But she came out this week, and she has had a number of tweets. She's had a number of comments. And as I looked at her this week and started trying to research her, you know, she would be what I would call the QAnon, I don't even know how to say that word, congresswoman. And so she was on the floor this week, speaking in terms of impeachment and on. So why don't we play that? Because I think Lenny and I both have some comments there.
Okay. So this is Lauren Boebert at Congress, given 60 seconds by the honorable douchebag, whoever.
Jim was Jordan.
It? Jim Jordan.
What God, a, I hate that guy.
I hate
guy.
That asshole. He's a prick. All right. This is Lauren Boebert.
Madam Speaker, I yield 1 minute to the gentlelady from Colorado.
The gentlewoman from Colorado is recognized for 1 minute.
Glory to God. Madam Speaker, I rise today to oppose this impeachment and denounce the recent violence on the Capitol, just as I oppose the previous impeachment and the violence we've all witnessed all summer long across our great country. Make no mistake here. The hypocrisy of the left is on
stop.
Full display.
Stop, 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 stop. On stop. So right there, as a Republican, all right, she's made her statement. I disagree with the impeachment. I disagree with what happened at the Capitol. I think that there's Democratic hypocrisy going on with this impeachment. If someone was smart from the Republican Party, they stop right now. Stop. Andre, please
go
continue. I'm sorry.
Get in the face of some Congress people. We've got to fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets. Take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. Take him, go and take Trump out tonight. Sound familiar? What about the gentlewoman from New York who defended the looting by saying looters just wanted loaves of bread? Well, the last I checked, Best Buy and Teslas and stores of the like do not produce baked goods.
What the
goods.
Hell is she talking about?
Where's the
about?
Accountability for the left after encouraging and normalizing violence? Rather than actually helping American people in this time, we start impeachments that further divide our country. I call bullcrap when I hear the Democrats demanding unity. Sadly, they are only unified in hate.
Fired.
All right, so the teacher told her to shut up.
Bullcrap.
and Andre, you just said in the mic, what's she talking about? There's certain things.
There's certain things. It doesn't relate to impeachment.
I understand Jesus that, but Christ. this is part of the rhetoric. She
She's
just wants to make sure that she
She's
gets
an absolute
it in.
Diss.
She wants to make sure that she gets it in. And there were Democratic senators and Democratic congresspeople this summer that were saying, well, the reason that there's looting going on is because they're trying to feed their families, which I always thought was bullshit, because she's not wrong. Best Buy doesn't serve those things. Separate issue from the standpoint that what's going on from an impeachment trial has to do with the Capitol Hill riots and the way that they were handled, as we've talked about you know, ad nauseum, you know, over the last 2 weeks. But I think that what we now have brewing is as mad as I get at AOC with her views, and I think her, I don't know, rhetoric, bullshit, whatever. Pretty much anything that comes out of her mouth, I can't stand
fanaticism,
her.
Fanaticism.
Yeah.
Craziness.
You know, now we've got an equal player on the Republican side who, you know, I pray to God, as much as I don't want AOC to be a voice on the Democratic side, I hope this lady doesn't become a voice on the Republican side.
Because she's
nuts. And, you know, she went out and you guys had asked me, did I really know that much about her? And I really don't. But you know, she was tweeting, and this was on the day of the Capitol Hill riots. Today is 1776. And she tweeted that out, before it happened.
Which shows she has no historical context.
That's correct.
To speak of.
And so then she said, you know, we're locked in chambers. And this was the comment. And I think Leonard brought this up last week. She did tweet out, the speaker has been removed from the chambers, of the Capitol. I don't know who she was tweeting that to. There wasn't anything directional in it. Why you would tweet that, I don't know. But when I started reading about her and I started understanding who she is, she's a QAnon follower. She is a conspiracy, excuse me, I can't use my words today.
Conspiracy theorist?
Yeah, she's a conspiracy theorist.
She's
so
crazy.
You know, she has gone out and talked about the conspiracies that have happened underneath the Trump administration. But there was a comment that was made by Rural Colorado United, which is a group that's on the Western Slope. And they basically came out with a comment after she was elected. It says, Lauren Boebert has betrayed the American people and is a conspirator in the insurrection that occurred at Capitol Hill on 1/6.
That's a Republican organization.
Yes, it is. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is a group that backed her for her election, Len. And now they're coming back and saying they don't want to. As the citizen she represents in Congress, we cannot recall her and we cannot impeach her, but we do not accept that she is fit to represent the people of Colorado District 3 in Congress. Only hope that she can be expelled, which opens up a whole another can of worms.
You're against the expulsion.
I'm 100% against expulsion.
In some cases, Paul, we talked about this last week and we had this heavy discussion about it. And I understand your argument with expulsion and where that leads in the slippery slope you like to argue. But in some cases, you have to do what you have to do, not only to protect the sanctity of the democracy and everything else, but if she is found guilty of conspiring with some of these people, don't you think she has to be expelled?
Yeah, but that's a different conversation.
No, it's not. Yes, it is.
So hold on one second. No, hold Leonard. Last week when we were talking about this, there were cries to expel anybody who supported.
That's not true.
Yes, that's not true.
We talked about Cruz and the Senator Hawley.
Yep.
If they were found to have incited the riots, and you said no, we shouldn't do it. What I'm talking about is not that far from that. There is a congresswoman who used to be in the military that said the day before there was a congressperson who had shown some of these people around.
Don't speculate.
No, that's not a speculation, Paul. That is fact. A congresswoman from New Jersey or New York has reported to the FBI.
Was it AOC?
No, it wasn't. Who's a former military, and the reason why she reported.
And this is where I vote.
Oh my God! You need to. I'm going to show you.
I've seen the story, Leonard.
And by the way, you don't believe it. You don't believe it.
It's not a matter of belief. It's a matter of what I think is conspiracy theorist stuff versus what I
think
is
fact.
If you think that a congressperson went and gave marching orders to the rioters and said, here's where you want to go.
Dude, you just read what she did.
It wasn't her.
You just read exactly her tweets on that day, the day when it was happening. there could be enough evidence to prove that she was part of this. Now, if the congresswoman from New York or New Jersey did not give a name of who this was, but this dumbass from Colorado tweeted back at the congresswoman from New York and said, what you have accused me of and blah, 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 blah. And the lady from New York responded and said, I didn't accuse anybody. I never gave anybody name in public. She gave the FBI the name. So now this congresswoman from Colorado has just admitted to the world she was the one that was giving the tour. She was the one. It wasn't the lady from New York.
She is also the one that didn't want to go through the new magnetometers that they'd put in the day after the riot because she is a gun nut and a psychotic.
I'm not saying you expel her now, but I'm saying after, if they come back and the FBI or whoever is investigating,
she's got to go.
Comes back and say she played some role or some part in this, that she gave these people a tour and that's how they knew where to go. Then hell yeah, she should be expelled.
So to give you guys
and arrested and charged.
To give you guys a little bit of background on Lauren Boebert.
Everything I've ever seen tells me that this girl is a loser.
So she rose to prominence at a rally here for Beto O'Rourke in Aurora, Colorado. And she basically went down there, confronted him, and something that ended up becoming viral. And she rode that all the way to becoming the next congresswoman. She's a one-trick pony, a one-issue candidate. It was guns and God.
But
then started riding the conspiracy
train. The other problem is, and I've been arguing this, they gerrymandered that district, and that's a different argument. They gerrymandered that district. There's a reason why there's no Hispanic congressman person in Colorado, and it's the reason, and it's both sides, Democrat and Republican, the way they put these districts in there, and the way, if you look at how House District 3 is designed, it is crazy. It's in the western slope. It goes down through Pueblo and comes up to the
mountain
east.
Towns.
What they did was they divided the Hispanic population in Pueblo and some of those areas to get this district. Now, the Democrats have just as much responsibility because the way they divided House District 1, House District 7, and I was part of that in 2000, the way they divide that up, Colorado is 30-something percent Hispanic and not one Latino congressperson from Colorado. There was one in the San Luis Valley in Pueblo that was Ken Salazar's brother. But ever since they changed the redistricting, there hasn't been one. And that's the reason why. And if you look at House District 3, that's why you get somebody like Lauren Boebert or whatever her name is because the way they gerrymandered that district. Now, if she is found, and I'm go back to you, Paul, if she is found to somehow be part of this, maybe it's to the level of beyond a reasonable doubt and criminal or have probable cause to charge her or not, if they come back and say she somehow worked with these people, do you believe she should be expelled?
Yes.
Oh, well, that totally changed from what you were saying
last
week.
No, it didn't.
You said it's up to the people that vote for her.
Because last week, you guys were saying Hallie should be expelled, Cruz should be expelled, this person should... There were no charges being filed. You guys just wanted them because they believed the conspiracy theory. And the comment from you and Andre were... Hold on. I just let you talk for 45 goddamn minutes.
It was 4 minutes and 5 seconds.
Whatever. It felt like 45
But you missed the...
So, you know, if there's charges, Leonard, if there's criminal... That's a whole different thing. But they can't be expelled from Congress because they're nutty. They were voted by their constituents. And what I don't understand is why they can't be recalled or why they can't be impeached by the people that voted for them or have a recall vote. I don't understand any of that. But at this point in time, she's there. If she hasn't done anything illegal, then she keeps her seat.
Well, she did announce that she was going to carry her Glock on the streets of Congress, without getting her permit, so she already broke the law.
Washington D.C. has a ban on
and she
carrying
said,
weapons.
And
by
she
the way,
went on the first week that she was sworn in, she got on a viral stream and she said, "I got my Glock and I'm my God and I ain't putting them away." Ma 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 ma. I mean, I had high hopes for this woman. I did. I've had my eye on her since 2 years ago.
This is the guy who had hopes for Sarah Palin too.
Well, you
high
know,
hopes for what?
Well, optics matter, and I was giving her a chance. I'm telling you, this woman is dangerous. She is dangerous, just like AOC is dangerous. They're both crazy.
I don't think anybody here disagrees with that.
I disagree with that.
But you don't think she's dangerous?
I do think she's dangerous. Yeah, he threw an AOC. So.
Oh, well, I think AOC is dangerous too. But I think that, you know, when it comes down to, you know, she can go out on whatever she wants to.
QAnon and say, or whatever.
Well, no, QAnon's a belief. It's not a radio station. But,
they have website and social medias and
they
so
do.
Forth.
I mean, but it's, anyway. She can go out on YouTube and say she's going to carry guns in the streets of D.C. Great. Go ahead and do it. You're going to get arrested. I mean, that those are just problems that take care of themselves. That is not, you know, there's nothing radical about that from the standpoint that if you're that dumb, then be that dumb. But you're going to get arrested. If you're going to go into the Senate chambers anymore, you're going to go through the metal detector. And you can't carry a gun on the Senate floor. Next question. And I don't give a shit if you feel that you have a lack of security. The security in that building is going to change dramatically. It has changed dramatically in the last 10 days and will continue to change dramatically. And the best Secret Service agents and the best Capitol Police and all that will be protecting that building. And so I don't think there's anything to worry about. But, you know, she wants to continue down the road with that rhetoric. My problem with her, and there's nothing I can do about this. This is up to the people that voted for her. And it's some of these people that continue with the same rhetoric, the same bullshit over and over again, you know, that believe the conspiracy theorists and everything else. It's never going to die as long as, these guys have a voice to be able to talk. Part of what she said in that speech, too, had to do with, you know, here's what happened this summer versus what happened on the Capitol. And I think there's discussions to have about both of those things, about what went on this summer and why it went on versus what went on the Capitol and why it went on. But I don't think they're the same things. And I don't think that for obvious reasons, at least to a remotely, relatively educated, reasonable person, I think comparing the Capitol to what's gone on in the riots that happened in Seattle or in Portland, it is not, you're not talking apples to apples at that point. Not that either one of them are right, by the way. I think they're both disgusting and I think that they're both deplorable, but comparing the two, which is what some of these guys are doing, I don't think is the right grounds to be standing on. And she is
it's not the right time or platform. There's a time where all these need to be discussed.
Yes.
It's not the right time or platform to do it.
I agree with that. I don't think that, you know, it's tit for tat when you stand on the Senate floor and say, well, you know, what happened yesterday was really, really bad, but, you know, don't forget what happened this summer in Portland. Okay, dude, it's not, you're right, Len.
It reminds me of the parent that kid got in trouble and said, yeah, I know my kid shouldn't have, you know, stole the computer from the school. But what about Harold last year when he stole the computer and you guys didn't suspend him? It's that argument that they're making at this time. And so that's kind of the problem that I have with what she says. The other thing is she starts off with glory to God and then
praise Jesus.
Basically everything I would think that God would not want to hear, right? I mean, she
depending starts, on who your God is, I
she,
guess.
She starts screaming at the other
why
side.
Can't we just leave
she's
that
screaming
out of it?
I mean, that's kind of what's wrong with what's going on
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly.
Don't start by saying glory to God and then have this anger come out of you.
She is one side of the iceberg, and I feel that AOC's on the other, and it's sinking us as a country. And again, I'm a middle of the road voter, and I gave her a chance more or less based on how poor her opposition was in the election.
That lady was a complete nightmare.
Everything I've ever seen tells me that this girl is a loser.
And that's Lauren Boebert.
Here's the other thing. There's two things, and we could talk about AOC in a little bit. I know Paul wants to jump on some stuff about her. But with her, there's two things that can happen to her. One is she now, everybody knows who she is. And now she's on everybody's news channel. She's on Fox. She's on CNN. She's on MSNBC. So now she's kind of like what I've been saying for the last 2 years. Fox has made a rock star out of AOC. Nobody knew who AOC was, but Fox has made her a rock star to some on the left. In other words, most people on the left wouldn't really, you know, unless you're from New York, you really wouldn't know who she was. But because Fox has made her the poster child of the left, I think it gave her some credence. It gave her some credit and all of a sudden upped her who she was. She was a low-ranking Democrat, newly Democrat.
She was a nobody. But now she's there. A somebody.
I mean, there's 430 Congress people, representatives.
Right, right.
She was one of 400 and was a low ranking, wasn't on any committees. And
she was a freshman.
And that's
a
what
freshman congressman has very little power,
very little
unless
power.
You're AOC.
But then all of a sudden she became a rock star.
And now she is a rock
star. She's a rock star, right? I'm afraid that's what's going to happen to this lady. She is now going to be the far right rock star. She's going to be on every news where we didn't know who the hell she was, even though she's from our own state. Really, most people in Colorado could give two shits about her. And all of a sudden now she's on everybody's tongue and mouth and talking about
it. I was kind of shocked to hear that Paul didn't know anything about her, considering he's a registered Republican. Yeah, and
she's from Delta. Who the hell gives a shit?
Rifle, actually.
Rifle. Who gives a shit?
She also is famous for running the Shooter's Restaurant in Rifle, Colorado, right. where they openly carry guns. Let's go get a burger and some bullets.
Yeah, but guess what?
Some beers.
Rifle has 12 people in it. I mean,
no, but it covers all of the South. I mean, it goes down.
And Len, I agree, because your point is correct. I mean, her total constituency is, I don't know, what, a couple hundred thousand people?
I mean, but it covers half the state.
I know,
it's incredible.
But Colorado is just, not a populous state.
Regardless, she's got a pulpit now.
I know. Andre, I know.
Let me finish the second half of what I was going to argue. The other thing that could happen to her is her two-year career is over. Because she was receiving
a lot of money.
From outside source. I mean, it's not a surprise that outside millionaires and billionaires dump money into other states because of it's a Republican or a Democrat. And what was happening, for instance, the owner of the New York Giants, who's a huge Republican donor, gave her money. They maxed out. Him and his wife maxed out on her. Now they're going, they're getting Major League Baseball, I can't speak either, Paul.
Yep, you're doing good.
They give a lot of money to parties and to candidates.
Not MLB. Owners of MLB.
MLB came out and made a statement today that they're going to watch who they give because they were upset with what happened at the Capitol. So they're now on, she is now on the radar not to give money to. So you want a quick way to lose re-election? Don't get the funds that you got the first time. I mean, part of the reason that we're in the situation we are in is because once you win office, once you win the first time, you all of a sudden gather a treasure chest of money from people because you're a sitting congressperson and you get so much money that it's hard to defeat you for the next
AOC.
Next 40 to
AOC
60 years.
Has a war chest right now. And again, she's
everyone does. I'm talking about everybody that wins all of a sudden starts gathering their war chest.
Len is exactly right.
Hey, when Pat Schroeder retired, she walked away with the war chest that was millions and millions. You know, she didn't have to worry about where her money was coming from. So I'm saying this on both parties. The thing that she was a part of and what happened and with her name coming out here as a conspiracy theorist may shut that faucet off. And so that could be a big problem for her. So I see it can go either way for her. All of a sudden she can generate this fame that she would have never had before, or her 2 years is done because the money's going to stop and money's going to come in for her to have a primary. And the Republican Party is going to put up somebody for a primary, and the Democrats just have to do a better job. They didn't have a candidate to run against her. They refused to endorse good candidates that I thought could run against her, but they didn't. They put in an old party favorite.
The fact that Lauren got elected, I think, is a sign of how weak the Democratic Party is across the board here in Colorado.
Andre, it's not only Democratic Party. She beat an incumbent.
That's true. That's
she beat a Republican incumbent. In a primary.
I'm telling you guys, she was hot after that rally in Aurora when she attacked Beto O'Rourke. I mean,
she to me is, that is the biggest, she is an example of the, why we have so much problems in Congress. And I'm not just saying that because she's Republican. I'm saying that if she was a Democrat too, because they get in there for the wrong reasons. People support them for the wrong reasons, and people give them money because they have a D or an R on their name, and they think they're going to just push their agenda. They don't do research. They give her a check for $2,500.
If anybody read anything about this lady, they would have never given her a nickel. But I say the same things as it relates to AOC and her beliefs. If people were actually researching these people and understanding what it is that they stood for, then you'd probably have to sit back and go, you know what? I think my $2,500 might be better in my pocket or better giving it to somebody else. Because as we continue, and you and I have talked about the divide within the parties, the divide within this country, the divide that continues to go on, as we continue to have a Republican that's grabbing the spotlight who is that far to the right, and a Democrat who's grabbing the spotlight who is that far to the left, it just takes the divide and makes it larger. And, you know, it's up to the Republican Party as much as the Democratic Party to sit down with some of these young guns and say, shut up, because what you're doing is not helping at all.
Do you think that the fate of the Lauren Boberts of the world, the real Trumpers, is going to end up being the same fate as Donald Trump? If he gets out of this impeachment and he is able to run again and he is a viable candidate, the Lauren Boberts of the world aren't going anywhere. They're not going to go anywhere. If anything, they're going to look to get a stronger voice, even outside of Fox News, Newsmax, whatever you want to call it, the future Trump media network, whatever the hell it's going to be. It's ugly, fellas. It's ugly.
I think that there are certain candidates that can't afford to not be Trumpsters. And I think there's other candidates that their constituency has now learned that is not a path that they want to go on or that they want to elect for. So I think there's two separate things that could happen as we go forward with elections, as it relates to, Trumpsters and non-Trumpsters. But it could be handled on both sides.
I worry that we're going to see more of a divide. We're going to see more of AOC's and Lauren Boebert.
Boobs art.
We're going to see more of them before it starts getting better. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, you know, you always have that side of the party that the middle is not proud of. You had the Tea Party for a while that were strong, and then they kind of faded when Sarah Palin kind of faded. The Democrats have had, you know, the strong left, the socialist.
The squad.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm hoping that we come back down to earth. Is kind of, you know, January 20th still seems like a long time away for me.
And it's a week of 3 days, 4 days.
But it's going to be nice that this is the last weekend that we have him as president.
But it doesn't change anything.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
The 20th doesn't change anything. If the political parties,
disagree with you.
Okay,
I'm hoping.
I don't know what the hell you're. I don't know what you're disagreeing with.
Well, maybe come back and
regardless
argue that over.
All right.
I mean, I think there's a lot there.
That was a huge statement. Yeah. All right. We will be right back with the legal dispute with Lenny and Paul.
Tommy called me Mo. Tommy called me Joe. That's man must be though. He don't never take it slow. Well, now they all call me Speedo, but my real name.
All right, so we were just sitting here talking about the inauguration and what changes, and Lenny made the comment that, you know, I think on the 20th everything changes. What changes? It doesn't change the political climate in the United States. It doesn't change...
I'm not saying that, Paul. What I'm saying is, on January 20th, we will have back a leader, the leader of our country, that has an agenda. Now, you may not agree with it, and you may not... or you may disagree with it. You may be on either side of it. There's some issues I may be against it. There's some issues I'm definitely for it. But you have a clear agenda and you have something to go in and debate. For the last 4 years, you had basically shit coming out of the White House. You had bullshit coming out of the White House. You had we're going to change. We're going to make Mexico pay for a wall.
We have losers.
We had a guy that wouldn't, who went in and met with Russia's president and didn't allow.
I don't want to hear all the highlights.
But what I'm saying is, when you have real agendas and you have real ideas, and then you can have people come in and you can have the Republican Party say, no, we're not going for that, but this is what we'd like. He never really went in as a normal president would do and go in and sit out and negotiate. He would go in, he would make fun of people, he would call Congress people names and make his little slide remarks, you know, noisy Nancy, whatever you want to say.
I get all that. That doesn't change the tension that is still very relevant in the United States right now. I think
eventually it does.
Because, it doesn't. Because, why does it? Why does it change?
We go back to arguing policies. We go back to
arguing. The American people are not arguing policies at this point in time. The American people, 70 million of them voted for one guy. 74 million Americans voted and for it's
always
another
gonna,
guy.
Paul, it's always going to be that way.
I know, but we're talking about extreme agenda changes. If you think that all of a sudden, and let's just fast forward to this summer. And this is horrible to say, I don't think this summer is going to be any different than last summer. I think that we are still going to have political uprisings in cities. I think we are still going to have issues in some of these cities. I think that those tensions are still going to be there. And they may be worse.
No. I disagree with you. Okay. What you got now is you've got real ideas on how to... You don't have a president up there who makes fun of one side or says this about the other side.
Or makes fun of handicapped people.
You don't have a president that tells you, go take over the Michigan courthouse or Capitol because you disagree with. You have, hopefully, a president that says, we need both sides to sit down. We need to handle this in a different manner. You don't have a president that just insults and throws in... gasoline on this fire. That's what he did in the summer. He did nothing this summer. He did, you know, somebody said something today about the pandemic and, well, you know, now that the election's over, people want to open. We had no guidance from the federal level.
Federal government.
On this. We've got, he called about warp speed and we're going to have military people, you know, ready to go. And he was full of shit. He had no plan. He never sat down and worked out plans. He talked from his ass 90% of the time. What I'm saying is, and I'm not giving Biden all the credit. I don't think it has anything to do with Biden. I think it has to do with somebody who's normal in the White House that can control some of these things, that knows how to handle it. If it was Bush in the White House, I think the summer would look better. I think if it was Reagan in the White House, this summer would look better.
That's
true. I think
if it's
Clinton or Obama, anybody else, this summer would look better because they can handle it and they have the ideas. This guy hadn't. What he did was go on TV. He would lie, and people would believe him. And he would never have a straight, direct plan for anything. He never did. He never has.
Len, I hope you're right. I mean, I genuinely hope that you're right.
If protests start to happen, if we see another black individual killed by a police officer, I think you'll have a different response from the federal level to try to handle this stuff. And we can have communications now. We don't have to call people names. We don't have to say, you need to go take back the city in Wisconsin, Kenosha, and fight for it. You don't have that divisiveness as much as you did. I agree with you. This country is so far apart. We're so split. We're so divided. It's a lot of work that whatever administrations in the next 10 years have, whether it's Democrat or Republican, but it's got to be somebody that's normal, that has ideas how to fix and heal, and not somebody who's a great divider like he was. That's what I'm saying is the difference.
Okay. So, one, I think it's a tinderbox, and I think that Joe Biden or, you know, whomever can come out and say, hey, we're going to do this, and, you know, we're going to be reunited, and we're going to do this. One thing can happen, and I don't know what it is, by the way. I have no idea what the event will be, but one thing can happen, and just like that, our cities are going to explode again, and I don't know that there is anything that has changed
socially that stops that from happening. And, you know, I get that coming up on this summer, people were locked in their homes. People were frustrated with COVID. And all of a sudden there are, you know, peaceful riots, in certain cities that turned into, you know, just shit shows, after the streetlights went on. And I don't think that we had control of what was going on in these cities. And I think that there are groups that take advantage of that. And I think now some of these groups are more empowered today than they were 6 and 7 months ago. And, you know, when that, whatever that spark is that happens this summer, the minute that it gets warm outside, we're going to see some of these cities explode. I think New York is a huge problem. I think New York is a monstrous problem. I think it's ready to explode, you know, the minute that that it gets warm outside. I think there's other communities or other cities out there, you know, that could be in equal trouble. And I don't know that Joe Biden necessarily, and maybe he does. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't seen it, but then again, I don't know that it would be published. But Len, I don't know that he's got anything in his past that shows that he knows how to handle this stuff.
Look, I'm not saying it's Joe Biden. What I'm saying is it's somebody that doesn't ignite the flame. It's somebody that's going to address the issues as they come up. You're right. Issues come up. They always have. They came up when different presidents were involved. But we had commanders in chiefs that acted like commanders in chief for the good of all the people. This guy for the past year has been running a re-election campaign and could give two shits about what the rest of the American people were doing.
You could argue that he's been running a re-election campaign for 2 years.
For 4 years.
Yeah.
He never cared that what he said or what he did had consequences. He never did. He never cared about that. I think just having a president, just having somebody in that office that says, wait a minute here, or doesn't even ignite the flames. Yeah. That is the difference for me. Is there going to be problems? Yes. Look, I was reading today that still in the FBI, the number one terrorist group in the United States is white supremacists.
Yeah.
That's the biggest threat to America.
It's the Proud Boys. It's the MAGA.
And that has even grown more and more over the last 4 years.
It's reached its peak.
Because he opened the door and opened the light for them to be okay.
And the wave is swelling and it is coming into the shore.
Just not having that person in charge of the United States that says they're good guys is going to help tremendously. Now you've got somebody who probably has the ears of Black Lives Matter to say, don't do this. There's other ways to go about us listening to your complaints, your issues. We don't have to burn down buildings and do this stuff. Let's sit down. We haven't had that. And Len, that's where I think the difference
is. I hope
so.
I think it's all great words. I hope so. I don't. I mean, if you've seen something that I haven't, or
I'm basing this on Biden. I'm basing this on non-Trump.
Okay, I hear you, brother. At this point in time, they're just words. I'll be anxious to see what actions take place to try to understand what goes on. And, you know, I come back and I know Leonard gets mad at me. I think white supremacist groups and militia groups are a horrible thing in the United States. I also think Antifa is a horrible thing in the United States. And, you know, these groups, all of these groups, they all feel empowered right now. They all feel like they can do whatever they want to. And I think that's disgusting. And you can throw the BLM into that too. I mean, somehow, some way, and I don't know if it's Biden, I don't know if it's Justice Department, I don't know if it is local federal agencies, you know, whatever it is, but how do you get an ear with these guys and say, guys, there's got to be, one, you need to go to jail, we need a timeout with you guys, you guys need to stop doing this shit that you're doing. I mean, somewhere there's got to be a cop that's able to start to traffic some of this stuff.
The difference is you got to know the source of why they are who they are.
I think they know who they are and why they are. And I think the federal government knows that.
They do. But the head of the United States didn't care for the last. Look, BLM came about because they were arguing and marching for civil rights. they didn't start because they just wanted to start shit. They started after a black man got killed by a police officer by kneeling on him. They are marching for civil rights. The Proud Boys are marching for what?
Wait,
I mean,
are you telling me?
You got to understand.
Wait, no, 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 no. Are you telling me that every BLM rally was nonviolent?
No, I've never said that.
Well, you just did. You just said they're marching on civil rights. And by the way, I think they were around before the Minnesota incident. I don't think BLM is a new group.
But when did they start marching this year? After the incident?
I guess. Okay. I mean, they may have marched before that. And I'm not. I am not negating the group by any means.
No, all right? you're putting them in the same classifications.
I am putting them in the same classifications because all of these groups. I don't think you can.
That's wrong.
All right.
Look, I'm not saying rioting. I'm not saying burning house or buildings, breaking windows is right. What I'm saying is you got to understand the difference of why people are doing what they're doing. And that's how you address their issues. And you can address issues like police brutality. You can address issues like discrimination and so forth. Those can be addressed and you can deal with and you can meet with people and you can try to stop the rallies and the sparks. What people like the Proud Boys are doing, you cannot settle with them. You cannot. Their goal is for white supremacy. Their goal is to hang people because of color.
They wanted to kill Mike Pence.
Their goal,
I still can't get over that.
Their goal is their goal. I heard people say, well, even as we listen to the representative of Colorado, remember when people were rioting the streets? They were rioting for racial injustice. These guys were rioting and entering the Capitol because they believe the guy was fraudulently elected. I mean, they're two different things they're doing. I'm not saying one's more right for breaking a window than the other one. They're both crimes and they both should be dealt with. But you have to know the source of where they're coming from and why they're walking the streets and why they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
And once you understand that, then you can start to solve problems that they have and start to solve issues.
And the big difference for me is that the crimes that BLM might have been responsible for, those didn't threaten the democracy of our union. You know, say what you want about how severe the crimes were about the people who rioted at the Capitol. It is the biggest threat to our internal security since 9/11. And BLM does not even compare to that, Paul. And I think Len's right on that.
You guys, I'm just sitting here listening to you. I don't disagree with what you guys are saying. I'm not sitting here saying, but what I am saying is that these groups, Len, for whatever the reason, because I don't agree with what happened at the Capitol. I don't agree with why what happened at the Capitol. I also don't agree with downtown areas this summer being turned into battlegrounds and the fact that some of those people, some of those members of these groups, whatever you want to call them, they're extremists or they were set up for violence.
Yes.
And so that's not acceptable either. So
it's not.
I don't agree with the Proud Boys. I don't agree with their agenda on any level. I think that they are fucking redneck, dumb, stupid idiots. But at the same time, I think that as a country, and what you were saying is that, okay, well, now that we have a new president in place, these things should happen less often, or that we should find a reason for. Great. I hope that we do. I don't think that we are there, and I fear that by this summer, we will not be there. And these groups feel more empowered today because of what happened at the Capitol, because of what happened last summer, because of what I think is going to happen on Inauguration Day, that now we've got empowerment of some of these groups. And how do you go after these guys and start to bring them down? I don't know. That's up to the FBI and to the Department of Justice. And I think that they have to go after in a very heavy-handed way, which most Americans will not like, in a very heavy-handed way, after these agitators and after these groups, as they begin to start their troubles for our cities.
And I guess the bottom line is, I think when it comes to the Black Lives Matter, if you believe why they're protesting,
This isn't a matter of protesting, by the way.
No.
We all believe in why they're protesting.
Right. But what I'm saying is they now feel they have a president that will listen to them and listen to their regards and not just, you know, kind of wish them away. As it relates to the Proud Boys and those type of people, why they walk the streets and do what they do, they no longer have a president that raises their level, that says it's okay to be you guys.
Yeah, I get it.
So
hopefully they're negated. I don't know.
So to me, that's why on one end for the Black Lives Matter, I'm hoping they feel they can sit down now and have good discussions, good talks. On the other side, I hope they feel now they don't have a president that's going to have their back. And that's why I think, I'm not saying there's nothing's going to happen this summer. There could be stuff this summer. I don't think it's going to go to the level it was last summer because we don't have the guy at the White House, you know, making one fire hotter and then trying to put the other out like they don't matter. And I think that's the big difference between next year or next summer and last summer.
And another big difference is the fact that the next president wouldn't see something that happened last week at the Capitol riot and say, oh, that's okay. And reportedly, Trump was very happy. He was ecstatic watching that on TV.
Well, of course,
that's a big difference.
They were supporting him, and that's...
That feeds his ego. Look, I hope you're right, Lenny. I really hope you're right. I don't have that same belief. I'm very jaded right now, just based on, you know, actions over the last year. But I hope to God that you're right, and that when we end up going through, when the weather gets warmer and we get into spring and summer, that we don't see, you know, some of the things that happened last summer. So anyway, with that, I guess we will...
The funny thing is, you know, I went to the gym for the first time in a long time today, and I'm on the massage bed. By the way, those things are wonderful. and we should get, you know, sponsorship from them because I could talk about how
sounds great.
15 minutes of laying on that massage bed in it. Anyway, so I'm watching that, and of course, just like every gym in America had Fox News on, and the thing I'm watching today is under Biden, thousands of migrant people are making their way to America. That was the lead headline. And I thought to myself, that is every year. But they had to throw in, under Biden's leadership, thousands, and they're coming from Guatemala and Honduras, and they show Mexican troops trying to, I guess, come on their border to stop them entering into Mexico. But we go back to, you know, who's going to flam the or stop this from going two different directions? And the media's got to help. And I think that's, you had an issue with AOC this week. And to me, how I translate it is just stop. Stop saying because Biden's president, thousands of migrant people are making their way to the United States. They did that under Trump. They did that under Bush. They did that under every president. They do that every year. And the problem is you got to solve what's going on in their countries to ever get them to stop. So, you know, on MSNBC, I'm sure if a Republican had won the president, not named Trump, there'd be something about, because of the Republicans, COVID is going to reach a new high level. You know, this is where I think that's got to stop, is stop feeding into the people that are watching you. People that watch only MSNBC believe there's no good Republican, and people that watch Fox believe that if once he became president, your guns are going away and the Mexicans are going to take over the United States.
But that's historic. I mean, you know, it's funny. You know, the more that you look, and I, you know, you and I have talked about this before, go look at history and figure out what history has said and, you know, where we're at today. And if you look back at the election of Reagan or the election of Clinton or the election of Bush, and you look at the issues that were on the plate, even Obama, and you look at the election issues that were out there, immigration's been on that list for 40 years. And they all have speeches talking about the fact that they want to control the border. They want to make sure that you keep criminals out. And if people are illegal, that they go back, you know, quicker. There's not a president that hasn't said it. There's not a president that hasn't had that issue that they've had to deal with. What I have talked about and what I've said is the policy needs to be redone. It needs to be redone quickly. Trump never got it done in 4 years that he said that he was going to handle this whole thing. He never got immigration policies redone. He just
separated families.
Yeah, he separated families. He went to the most extreme measures that there could be. And, you know, I hope that Biden has a plan for immigration because, again, if you look back at history, Obama said that he was going to have a plan for it and he was going to put more agents at the border.
Obama,
and he was going to do this and he was going to do
that. Obama's immigration was horrible.
Correct. And he had no support from Republicans. But not enough anyway.
Well, I didn't like his plan to begin with as a Democrat. I mean, what he did with DACA people.
What do you think of Biden's? I mean, he's going to, it looks like he's.
I haven't read what Biden's is. I don't think Biden has published it.
Essentially, the headline is there's a path to citizenship for about 15 million undocumented?
11 million.
11 million.
Yeah, and I that should have happened. I mean,
but the 11 million are the DACAs.
They're the people that have been here for quite a while.
Right. Which is great.
I mean, that should have happened. Start. Reagan did the same thing. Bush did the same thing.
Yep.
I mean, Obama didn't. And that was the issue. He left them hanging. That was a big issue with Obama.
It feels like he left put healthcare so above many, immigration.
Look,
in terms of his priorities.
I represent a DACA person that's been just sitting out there for a long time.
It's horrible.
And it's the way they feel. They gave their names, they gave their numbers, they gave their jobs, they did whatever they could do. They worked hard, and they're saying, you know, Obama kind of left it open, and then Bush took it away. I mean, Trump took it away. They don't know where they sit right now. And this one's...
They're in limbo.
She's been here since she was 1 year old. You know, she's 30 years old. If she gets sent back, what do you do? Where do you get sent back?
Looking back on it, that was one of Trump's early, most boneheaded decisions that was just based in racism and nationalism and shit that we don't need in our society.
But it's not Trump's decision. Leonard just said what was most important, and that is that Obama left it open-ended. And, you know, when these
the
presidents do...
Let him
Andre,
do
please
it.
Let me talk. When these guys leave things halfway done, and then you all of a sudden have someone voted to office like Trump, and he's there, and he just takes it apart... I blame Obama for not closing the loop, and the DACA people should have should absolutely have a path to citizenship, and they shouldn't be living with the fear that ICE could walk into their house at any time, and deport them for no other reason than they're part of the DACA program. It's horrible that there's a loophole that is left like that, and that you've now left it open to someone who doesn't share your views to exploit that lack of decision.
By the way, just real quick, I know we have a few seconds. I did see his first agendas. Just real quick, Paul, see what you think about some of his first agendas I had written down.
I can't wait to see the Trump 21
first
salute.
First,
you're talking about Biden or you're talking
Biden's about? Day one executive orders that he plans on signing.
Find Oval Office.
Redo the Kennedy Garden. That was number one.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Rejoin Paris Climate Agreement. Yay or no? Is that something he should do, Paul?
Yes. I go back to my original comments about the Paris Climate Agreement. I don't know enough about
it. You know the thing.
Okay. Reverse the Muslim ban on traveling.
Reverse the yes, I agree with that.
Mask mandate in federal buildings and interstate travel. Although he can't make him illegal not to wear a mask, he's going to put something together to try to mandate them in federal buildings.
It's a great idea.
Okay.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, it's a yes. I mean, I'm not in a federal building.
I know this is a big no for Paul because we had a huge heated debate about this on one of our first podcast, and if you're just listening to us for the first time, go back and listen to our first podcast, especially the one about foreclosures and rent. That one was really good. Extend restrictions on evictions and foreclosures.
No.
Just no?
Come on, man.
No, let people get kicked out of their homes and apartments.
You want to have this argument again?
No, so, no, I don't.
I mean, there's landlords that are now losing their buildings because of this, so moving on.
Extend pause on student loan payments and interest.
I am not for the government paying for student loans.
They're not paying. They're just saying you don't have to make a payment or pay interest while we're in this pandemic.
Yeah, I think it's part of the $1 trillion package that he has for COVID.
No, this is not any package. This is just his executive order of...
How long's the pause for? A week? 2 weeks?
Well, by the way, Trump paused it, and it went through the end of January, so I think it's probably another 6 months.
Okay.
You're okay with that?
I don't agree with it, but okay.
Okay. And, final one, is relook at DACA and extend their, it just says relook at DACA, so I'm guessing.
I think that with DACA, you have to relook at DACA and not extend anything. You have to give them
a path
to
citizenship. Well, that's got to come from Congress, I think, now.
Right, but you've got to give them a path to citizenship. These people are... and I don't want to sit here and pound away at this all day, but you know, it's that old saying, and my mom used to say it all the time, just shit or get off the pot. I mean, they've been here, they have worked, they have been educated, they are doing the right things, they're paying their taxes, they're good members of society. So just give them a path to citizenship and be done with it. I mean, it's just, stop letting these people hang in limbo. I don't understand it.
Anything that's not on that list you think he should do?
Anything that's not on that list, do I think?
In other words, what would you have
Biden do? The first 10 days.
Yeah, what would you have
him do? What would you have him address?
I don't know. That's a scary question. I'd have to look at every executive order that's been, you know, overdone over the last 4 years.
Real quick, what about like environmental stuff? You think he should? I mean, I guess that's the Paris.
That is the Paris.
I mean, that's part of the Paris Accord, and that's why I don't know enough about the Paris Climate Accord. There are certain executive orders that were put into place to open up coal mining and other things in Pennsylvania and in West Virginia. What are the effects that those have on the environment? I don't have an answer for that. Where are we drilling today? I don't have an answer for that. So there's certain things with the environment that I'm not smart enough to give or a yay or a nay to, but I would assume that it's been over, that Trump signed executive orders to open things up that were not open, prior 8 years.
What about, I think the other big issue that came out, some people, even Democrats agreed with what Trump did, is the Iran deal got him out of the Iran deal.
Should we go back
into the Iran deal?
No.
Why? Because the
Iran deal wasn't doing anything to begin with. I mean, they weren't letting inspectors in. It's like North Korea. We've accomplished nothing in Iran and we've accomplished nothing in North Korea. And Obama's whole treaty thing, whatever it was with Iran, is a joke.
But what have we accomplished now?
Nothing.
I mean, what Trump's done since then with North Korea and Iran?
Nothing. So I wouldn't re-enter a treaty with Iran that wasn't accomplishing anything before any more than we're getting today. They were shooting off rockets today into the Indian Ocean at boats. I mean, Iran is on their own agenda. So is North Korea. I wouldn't.
So is China.
Okay, but we're talking about nuclear radicalists, and that would be axis of evil. So
would you go and your first thing with your Secretary of State is reconfirm your agreements and your relationship with NATO, which Trump has basically destroyed?
I would absolutely do that.
Okay.
Yeah. I would not have, but I would also tell my secretary, we are not having conversations with North Korea and we're not having conversations with Iran.
Yeah, you don't want to. I mean, the biggest problem with having what Trump did with North Korea is he put him on the map.
Yeah, he raised his...
He raised his level, right, and gave him a stage to perform on.
And he's a fucking liar. I mean, yeah. Kim's been a liar forever, and he's going to continue to be a liar. And the idea that, you know, when I was mad at Obama, with this whole Iran thing, that we actually thought they were going to cooperate. They don't. They've never cooperated, and they're not going to cooperate tomorrow.
The argument was over the time period they were in the agreement, they did have access to certain things of Iran that they didn't. Yeah, they did.
Len, they were not allowing inspectors in. They were not being truthful, and they were not showing the appropriate stuff. They did not meet the grounds of it. Look, dude, I mean, it's funny. I sit here and I listen to what you say and I agree with some of the stuff and I don't. But if you think that Iran was acting in good faith under that treaty, I don't know what you've been reading. Because they weren't acting in good faith under that treaty, and they still haven't. I mean,
there's a saying that keep your enemies close and your, you know, what I mean. And what he did when he just said, no, we're not going to honor it anymore. He made it so that your enemies are no longer close to you, so you can at least have an attempt to to talk to them about what was right and what was wrong.
Len, I don't, look, the Iran thing's a joke. The North Korea thing's a joke. I don't think there was any good ever done from any of it. If you believe that there was, then God bless you. But they were still, you know, trying to make nuclear weapons. They were still trying to purchase nuclear weapons. They were still a haven for terrorists. I mean, there was, they were flipping us off. I mean, they don't care. They weren't abiding by what was in the treaty. They took our money and, you know, they were happy with that. And that's the way it's been since the 50s with them. And it's not going to change. So, look, I good stuff this week. We will be back with you guys again next week. You know, we'll start talking next week. We'll be here post inauguration, next week and pray to God that, it's just hats and horns. But we'll be down a path with impeachment. We will be obviously welcoming a new president into the White House.
We get to listen to J-Lo and Bon Jovi at the inauguration.
Why the hell?
What is there an inauguration actually happening?
No, but they're doing.
There's no humans there.
The night of, they're having performances. Lady Gaga's doing the national anthem.
Are they having inauguration balls?
I don't know if anybody has balls or not. That's not my job. I'm just telling you what I read today that Bon Jovi's performing.
Where are they performing? Halftime show?
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck?
So is what's that band?
I thought we're supposed to be social distancing.
Her favorite band is playing.
One Direction.
One Direction? No, it's a rock. Pete Wentz, the bass player, Peter Wentz. I don't know.
Anyhow, it'll be interesting.
Okay. Well, if there's an inauguration, there's people there. I'm going to not understand anything that we've been talking about for the last few months. But anyway, we will catch up with you guys next week. Lenny and Paul, The Legal Dispute. Thank you. And thank you for your patronage. Please continue to listen. Out.
Layers of case files and other legal documents sitting idly by, gathering up dust around the corner? Don't let them be consigned to oblivion. What if we told you that you can actually turn those documents into cash? Welcome to Attorney Docs. It's the first and only online marketplace that allows legal professionals to sell their legal documents to fellow attorneys, paralegals, students, and the general public. Want to start selling? Simply register for free at attorneydocs.com and upload your documents. You can set your own price and get a 60% commission for every sale you make. Now there's a new stream of income for you. For document buyers, we know it takes a painstaking amount of time to start a document from scratch. So that's why we're here to provide you with thousands of reliable and accurate legal files in 74 different categories of law. Visit attorneydocs.com now and start selling or buying legal documents today.